Lots of lights burn through the night at Homeland Security as people think about the potential cybersecurity-induced damage to critical infrastructure. Now the DHS Science and Technology Directorate has assembled a collection of data sets concerning infrastructure events. It's making these data sets available to researchers through a program called IMPACT. That stands for Information Marketplace for Policy and Analysis of Cyber Risk and Trust. Erin Canale is Program Manager in the Cybersecurity Division of S&T, and she joins me now with more. Erin, good to have you on.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
IMPACT is a set of databases. What is in the data? What do they concern? What's it all about?
Sure. So it's actually a centralized catalog for data sets that are available to the research community, and the research community being defined as both industry, academia, and government. So we're not just serving the academic community here. And it's a central catalog, and we have a federation of providers. So it's not an Uber database in the sky. We actually have a distributed network of data providers that make data available through different formats and mechanisms.
So you almost are a broker of all of this information.
Correct. That's a great analogy.
And give me an example of a type of data set that might be in there. What would it cover, and what could people get out of it?
Sure. So we really deal. So we deal with network level data. So things like we have massive malware passive DNS data. We have some synthetic data from some cyber exercise competitions. We have topology data, internet telescope data. So again, it's real. It's not application layer things that kind of like your normal Joe Public would be familiar with, but really the data at the infrastructure network layer that most researchers in this space find extremely valuable.
So this would be information, for example, generated by network equipment that is detecting malware, or not so much malware, but maybe intrusion attempts and that kind of thing?
Sure. So it's traffic level data that could have, you know, intrusion data. It could be routing, something called BGP routing data we have. And then we have, you know, sort of macro level maps of the internet as well. And it, you know, the scope is pretty wide ranging, and we're always looking to expand that scope to address our different user bases.
And how do the originators of these pieces of data obtain them in the first place? And how do they make a snapshot, I guess, of an event? How do they know when to start the recording and end it?
Right. So a lot of our performers are actually you know, researchers themselves. So I guess, you know, for lack of a better explanation, they kind of eat their own dog food. So that assures some reliability. So they're only collecting and curating and producing what they would use in the course of their research. And we've got some really reputable folks on board, most of them universities. We've got University of California, San Diego, Georgia Tech, USC, University of Wisconsin. So, right, and in terms of making it available, it sort of depends on the data set. You can imagine terabytes worth of data. You're not just going to go give a raw data dump to somebody. So oftentimes the data may be available in a data as a service type model, or it may be available in what we would call like a virtual enclave model, where the user would actually query the database remotely instead of actually downloading a huge terabyte dump of data. So it sort of just depends on the data that you're dealing with.
For example, an academic researcher somewhere, say at San Diego that you mentioned, might run a simulation on a particular scenario, and that would generate data that they would make available through IMPACT.
Correct. Right. That's a good example.
Now, DHS also shares, or at least in theory, shares threat and cyber attack information with private sector entities. If someone were to attack, say, a financial institution or a power plant or that kind of thing, would that data from that event be available possibly for posting on IMPACT?
So currently, so you're describing a situation where the government were to share data back to industry. I think there's a distinction to be made in this regard, which is to say IMPACT is really focused on longitudinal large-scale data sets as opposed to threat intelligence feeds, which is often the situation when you're dealing with, you know, government to industry data. So oftentimes that data is going to operators, directly to operators in industry who are trying to act in real time against threats. Now, I think we're very complementary to that scenario. In fact, there's a lot of entities right now who are standing up services and products and whatnot focused on the threat intel space. So no, you know, I guess yes and no, mostly no. We don't really address the threat intel space, but, you know, again, we're tackling an area where there's, I think there's a lot of need and much much less provisioning of those types of longitudinal data sets. Because, you know, going back historically and being able to test tools and methodologies and techniques against a large data set to verify verify theories, verify techniques, and that your tools are actually working correctly. That's just one example of the utility of the type of data that we provide.
We're speaking with Erin Kennealy. She's Program Manager in the Cybersecurity Division of the Science and Technology Directorate at Homeland Security. How long has IMPACT been up? What is the level of requests that you're seeing so far?
I can address that a couple ways. First off, the lineage of the program. IMPACT is actually a reboot of a project or a program, I should say, that was started in the mid-2000s. It was called PREDICT, and this was a direct response to the mid-2000 cyberspace policy review and some other authoritative directives that really called for the need for research infrastructure to assist in cybersecurity R&D. So it's a reboot of that, both technically in name and in terms of the scope of the data that we carry and the capabilities of the system itself.
And is there some sort of jury process to decide what gets posted and what may not be all that useful?
We do undertake, and I think this is one of the value propositions for the system itself, which is to say we provide a trust, if you will, in the data sharing insofar as we vet the researchers who are requesting data. Vetting meaning, you know, we just make sure that the people who are requesting and getting the data are actually legitimate researchers as opposed to, you know, some hacker from a nefarious country, if you will. And then we also vet the data, more directly to your question, we vet the data itself. We kind of have a risk questionnaire that we go through to determine not only the level of sensitivity of the data that might be made available, but also utility. And oftentimes we can't really determine what the utility is until we make it available and we see if the community wants it, if they're requesting it. And then if not, you know, we're going to downgrade it, if you will, and go forage for more valuable data sets. And I think also to your earlier question in terms of the user base, I don't have up-to-date stats on the request status just because we're on the heels of a transition to some new technology infrastructure to bring it aligned with the system aligned with you know, state-of-the-art technology. But from a user perspective, we've got around, I would say, 275-300 academic account holders, roughly on the order of 475 commercial account holders. Again, approximately 130 or so government, and then we've got over 100 account holders internationally because we are partnered with about 7 different countries to allow their researchers to request the data.
That was my question. In this two-way vetting process, this is also a international effort.
Correct. Right. So we have agreements in place to share data with, I think it's around 7 now. So we've got Canada, the UK, Australia, Singapore, South Korea, the Netherlands, and I'm sure Israel, and I may be missing one or two in that regard. And we're constantly looking to expand the scope of our availability to international researchers, as well as to make it a bilateral exchange. So right now, it's unilateral. Those researchers from those countries can request data, but they're not necessarily provisioning data themselves. So we're moving into that phase where we're going to make that a bilateral exchange and really make it a fully, you know, international data sharing model.
Erin Kennealy is Program Manager in the Cybersecurity Division of the Science and Technology Directorate at Homeland Security. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You can read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.